This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsinites head to the polls tomorrow, April 2nd, in the state's presidential preference primary. And there is a box on the ballot you might not have noticed before. A group of advocates is encouraging voters to mark uninstructed on their ballot. Here to tell us what that means is Associate Professor of Political Science, Anthony Chergosky of UW-La Crosse. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we want to start by showing voters what will be on the top of their ballot tomorrow. This is a sample ballot we're showing. We're highlighting that uninstructed choice that appears in each party section under the names of the candidates and above the write-in line on your ballot. Anthony, can you first remind us how will voters be directed to vote in a presidential preference primary tomorrow?
Sure. In Wisconsin, voters will see both the Republican section and the Democratic section on the same ballot. Voters can only choose one of the two. This is in contrast to some other states where voters declare their party affiliation and then are given a ballot specific to that party. So in Wisconsin, everyone gets the same ballot, at least people in the same locality get the same ballot. And then people decide which party they want to vote for if they want to vote in either presidential primary election.
So what does that uninstructed box mean? I can honestly say I hadn't ever checked it before. Has it always been on our ballots?
Yes, this stems from the notion that the results of the presidential primary election are translated into delegates. I think about it in a manner similar to the Electoral College. When people vote for president in the November general election, they're not voting directly for presidential candidates. Rather, they're voting for a slate of electors who then cast their vote in the Electoral College, and that's how we decide the presidents. The nomination system is somewhat similar in the sense that voters are not voting directly for Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or any of the other candidates on the ballot. They're voting in hopes that their vote will be translated into delegates, which then vote at the respective party conventions. And it's the delegate vote at the conventions that decide the party nomination. Now, already Donald Trump and Joe Biden have secured enough delegates to become their party's nominees. So there's no drama as far as that's concerned in the Wisconsin presidential primary. Uninstructed is exactly what it sounds like. It means that people are voting for a slate of delegates, one or more delegates, however many, that are not instructed how to vote at the Democratic convention or the Republican convention. So if someone were to vote for Biden, then that could translate into delegates who vote for Biden at the convention. If someone votes uninstructed, then that would simply try to get delegates at the convention who are not instructed about which candidate to support in the nomination vote.
So I know in other states we've heard about people voting uncommitted. Is that the same as what we have here in Wisconsin as uninstructed?
It is, though the process of translating the popular vote to delegates can change from state to state. And they're similar in the sense that they're basically a protest vote. I mean, we can think of uncommitted or uninstructed as a protest vote, in this case against Biden. And in the past, we've seen uncommitted and uninstructed gain votes as well. This is not unique to the 2024 election cycle. So when Biden was on the ballot last time, when it was Biden versus Sanders, when Obama was on the ballot, when other presidential candidates have been on the ballot, we've seen the uninstructed option before. It's getting talked about more in this particular election cycle due to the issue stances of President Biden and some of the actions that activists are taking to try to get people to support the uninstructed option to send a message to Biden.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that message. There has been this national movement started in other states by grassroots advocates, as you say, with a protest vote, particularly on the Democrat side against President Biden. Can you talk a little bit more about what they're saying, their messages? Why are they asking people to mark uninstructed this time?
Sure. The movement focuses on a desire to see a ceasefire in Gaza. It also centers on opposition to U.S. funding for Israel, U.S. support of Israel. So this has become a fairly well-organized campaign, I would say. It's not a campaign that is just kind of all over the place. I mean, there are mailers going out to people. There are social media campaigns. There are text messages going out to people. So this is a campaign that has really come together in an organized fashion over the past several weeks. But broadly speaking, it is about Biden's policies as it pertains to Gaza.
And is this an effective way to, this is an attempt to influence foreign policy through the ballot box. Has this ever been done before? Would you call it an effective way to influence foreign policy?
I think it could be, because in certain states, a few thousand votes here, a few thousand votes there can swing the election outcome. Organizers of this movement in Wisconsin say that their goal is to get 20,000 uninstructed votes in the Tuesday election. Now, that's not a coincidental number. That's roughly the margin of victory in the popular vote that Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by in the 2020 election. So the message from the advocates is clear that Biden cannot take their support for granted, and that they might have enough numbers where if they sit out the 2024 general election, it could cost Biden the election in Wisconsin. So I think this could be effective, certainly in states like, well, states that are not competitive. I don't think this would get as much attention. And due to the Electoral College, the vast majority of states are real afterthoughts in the November general election. I think the fact that this is in Wisconsin adds particular significance to the uninstructed movement, because Wisconsin will be about one of a roughly half dozen of states that could matter if we think about the states that could make a difference in the November general election. We would think about states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina. Basically, the entire general election will be fought in those six or seven states, and other states will be ignored as a result of the way that the Electoral College works. So if this movement were taking place in a state that was lopsided for one party or the other, a state that was guaranteed to go one way or the other, as is the case for most states, then I'm not sure that this movement would be gaining so much attention. But the fact that Wisconsin was only decided by 20,000 votes in the 2020 election, the fact that Wisconsin was the tipping point state in the 2020 election, Wisconsin was the state that gave Biden the electoral votes he needed to get him over the top, get him over that 270 electoral vote threshold to make him the next president. I think the fact that this is in Wisconsin means that this is well worth paying attention to.
You know, you mentioned this year there happens to be an issue that's mobilizing voters to mark uninstructed, but that hasn't always been the case. And also, could there be other reasons that a voter might mark uninstructed that have nothing to do with this particular campaign that's about President Biden's policy in Gaza?
Absolutely. Voting is a blunt instrument. There are many reasons why someone might vote for Biden. There are many reasons why someone might vote uninstructed. Just as on the Republican side, there are many reasons someone might vote for Nikki Haley, say. There are many reasons why someone might vote for Donald Trump. So voting is a blunt instrument, and we can't interview each voter after they leave the ballot box or after they cast their ballot to figure out what their motivations were for voting the way they did. But after the election, there is a process of interpretation, and that process is really important. It's the process through which candidates, campaigns, and people involved in politics try to figure out the message that the election is sending. Now, that's going to be an inexact science because, as I mentioned, voting is a blunt instrument, and we can't read the minds of each voter. We can't interview each and every voter. Nevertheless, candidates, parties, people involved in politics are going to be looking at the results from Wisconsin carefully and trying to make some interpretations, trying to learn some lessons that might be relevant for the November election.
Well, kind of similarly, I know you mentioned Nikki Haley in the November Republican presidential primary. I'm sorry, the Nevada Republican presidential primary. There was Nikki Haley lost to a box where folks marked none of these candidates. Is that kind of an example here?
Sure. In that case, none of the above or none of these candidates was a bit of a stand-in for former President Trump. But just as the uninstructed option on the Democratic Party side has gained a lot of attention in Wisconsin, I'm also watching to see how many Republican voters don't vote for Donald Trump. So I think there is likely to be a protest vote on both sides, on the Democratic Party side and on the Republican Party side. And like I mentioned, the parties and the candidates and those involved in politics will be trying to interpret the results of the protest vote on either side to get a sense of where things stand going into November. So, protest votes are nothing new in the presidential nomination process, and we have seen votes that could be perceived as protest votes on the Republican side, with Nikki Haley gaining thousands of votes from Republican primary voters even after she dropped out of the race. Similarly, in Michigan and Minnesota, we saw a substantial uncommitted vote in the Democratic Party primary. So I think the protest vote on either side has been an interesting story in this presidential nomination process. Certainly, the nomination process lacked for any drama when it came to which candidates would become their party's nominees. I mean, this was a very quick process through which Biden and Trump locked up the necessary delegates to become the respective nominees of their parties. So much of the storylines have not been about competition for the party nominations, but have more so been about the extent of the unhappiness among the Democratic Party base and the Republican Party base.
Which might affect turnout, which I know we'll talk about a little later in the show. Let's look a little bit at the results of that uncommitted protest vote in some of the other presidential primaries that have already happened. We're just looking at the Democrat side of things here. In Michigan, Joe Biden received 81.1% of the vote. Uncommitted received 13.2%. That was kind of the first time we heard about this grassroots movement was in Michigan. Then a few days later, Minnesota, uncommitted received a larger share of the vote at 18.8%. President Biden received 70.1%. In North Carolina, the option is called no preference, which got 12.7% in their primary, with President Biden receiving 87.3%. You talked a little bit about this protest, but is there anything we can take from those particular states, those numbers?
I think those states are noteworthy because two of those three states will be considered swing states in the November general election. Michigan and North Carolina are likely to be states where the candidates are trying to win the election. Certainly, the candidates might perceive those states as winnable on either side. Minnesota, not so much. Minnesota has a very long streak of going for the Democratic Party in presidential elections. Nevertheless, I think that this shows that the uncommitted or uninstructed movement has some legs, and that this movement has been able to attract thousands of votes in three important states in presidential politics. I have no doubt that that built some momentum for the movement in Wisconsin. It perhaps motivated advocates in Wisconsin to put together what I think has become a pretty credible campaign. Certainly, a campaign that is organized well enough to do grassroots organizing, to do get out the vote efforts, to do voter outreach. So I think that the talk in Wisconsin and the momentum in Wisconsin for the uninstructed option can be traced back to those three states that you mentioned.
President Biden relied on several Milwaukee nonprofits to do big get out the vote efforts that contributed to his win here in Wisconsin in 2020. Now, some of those nonprofits are actually part of this grassroots uninstructed campaign that we've been talking about. Do you expect that those groups might reengage for Biden in November, or is it really going to matter what he does on this policy in Gaza?
It's tough to read too much into the November political environment based on what we're seeing in March and April. A lot can change, and this is going to be a very long general election campaign. It is quite unusual for us to see the party nominations resolved so early in the electoral cycle. So I can't make predictions with a lot of confidence because Biden is likely to adjust his policies and his political strategy based on what he's observing in these various states where he is seeing some unhappiness with his policies towards Israel and Gaza. Biden is intensely strategic in how he places himself relative to Democratic Party voters. It has often been remarked that Biden seems to place himself smack dab in the center of the Democratic Party. Now, the center of the Democratic Party moves over time, but that just means that Biden has shifted along with Democratic Party voters over time. So in the past, we have seen evidence that Biden will respond to Democratic Party voters. I think what I'm seeing, what I'm watching for is if the uninstructed movement is able to win over a lot of the Democratic Party. You know, is this just a small part of the Democratic Party that we're seeing engaging in the uninstructed movement, or does this really become a broad movement within the Democratic Party? I think Michigan, Minnesota, and North Carolina offer us some hints that the strong majority of Democratic voters are with Biden, but there's a lot of voters who are unhappy with him. And I think we'll get some additional data on that through the April election results in Wisconsin.
And is it safe to say that we wouldn't expect these voters in November to vote for President Trump? Or is that a possibility? Or are they more likely to sit out if they remain unhappy?
That is the big question. There's a lot of talk about the so-called double haters in the 2020 presidential election. There is a large percentage of the electorate that has negative views of both major party candidates. So, one of the pivotal issues, one of the pivotal questions hanging over the November election is what do the double haters do? Do they even vote at all? Is the first question. And then, if they do vote, who do they vote for? Do they go third party or do they plug their nose and go for the major party presidential candidate that they can most tolerate? Perhaps out of fears that the presidential candidate they like the least might be helped if they sit out the election. So I think the psychology of voters will change throughout the course of the next several months leading up to the November election. But it is worth watching if certain voters just sit this one out because they're not happy with either option. If they vote, but they go third party, or if they go for one of the major party candidates, even if they're not happy about
That's why a political scientist has lots of job security in Wisconsin, I'm thinking here.
it.
In the last presidential election, it was Republican voters in Wisconsin who were more likely to vote uninstructed. I thought those numbers were interesting. I want to show our viewers some of those tallies from the April 2020 results. We're showing those results. It was that spring presidential preference primary when there were more than 11,000 Republican voters, a total just 1.78%. They marked uninstructed as compared to then about 3,600 Democrat voters who voted uninstructed. I'm guessing this was also somewhat of a protest vote. Was there any message behind that Republican uninstructed vote back in April 2020?
Yeah, I think the protest vote is always worth watching in elections like this to see how large the protest vote is and to see how well organized the protest vote is. In the Republican election last time around in April 2020, I would not characterize the Republican protest vote as being particularly large or particularly well organized. In fact, if anything, I think the message from the April 2020 election on the Republican side is that Republican voters were solidly behind President Trump in his reelection bid. Now, that didn't end up being enough for him to win the November election, but it certainly displayed unity in the Republican Party, at least those who showed up to vote in April 2020 behind his candidacy. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side in April 2020, Bernie Sanders was still in the election. And there was a state Supreme Court race on the ballot. There was a lot to draw Democratic voters to the ballot. Of course, that was the pandemic year, and there was a lot of talk about election administration that year and in-person voting. But big picture, that was kind of the last stage of Bernie Sanders still being in the Democratic presidential campaign. Now, the decision-making process is completely different for Democratic candidates. A credible candidate to challenge Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination never materialized. There was a lot of talk about Biden's potential vulnerabilities in the Democratic Party based on his age, based on perceptions about his physical and mental capacity to carry out the duties of the presidency. But it takes a candidate to unseat a sitting president for the party's nomination. And the candidate never showed up who could do that. So I think this time around, it's quite different because in this election, you might see a decent Republican protest vote going for Nikki Haley, going for Ron DeSantis. Meanwhile, with Biden the only game in town for Democrats, their options are pretty much Biden or uninstructed, which is different than was the situation in April 2020.
Interesting. This year, as you mentioned, that grassroots group that's asking people to vote uninstructed has this goal of 20,000 votes. Are they likely to meet that goal? Just looking at as we just did 2020, the higher number was 11,000 votes. Is 20,000 a reasonable goal?
Absolutely. And I think it would send a message to Biden's campaign that in a very close state like Wisconsin, or a state that is likely to be highly contested in November 2024, that they cannot take any aspect of their coalition for granted. Coalition building is one of the most complicated aspects of the two-party system because for either party to win an election in a large, diverse nation like the United States, it takes very careful coalition construction. And so, just as Biden is going to rely on suburban moderates, suburban swing voters, rural Democrats who may be drifting away from the party in the Trump era, he'll need those voters, but he'll also need voters in the uninstructed movement. It's no easy task to construct a winning coalition in a large, diverse nation. And I think both parties are going to see those challenges as we get forward to November 2024.
So, looking back at Minnesota's presidential primary, where there were 45,000, well, almost 46,000 uncommitted voters, do you think Wisconsin will top that number?
It very well could. And I say that because the energy on the Democratic Party side seems to be directed towards the uninstructed vote. The Biden campaign has this thing wrapped up. There's no serious mobilization from the Biden campaign to get people out to vote. There are a number of other interesting and important things on the April 2024 ballot, but a lot of discussion has centered on the uninstructed movement. And so I think the uninstructed movement is likely to blow past its set expectation of 20,000. In fact, I think it was quite shrewd of them to set that expectation because when they most likely exceed that expectation, it will be viewed as a smashing success for the uninstructed movement. Interestingly, they did not talk about percentages of the vote when discussing their targets for the election outcomes. Percentages of votes are relevant to how delegates get allocated out of the popular vote. The percentage of the vote relates to how different options are awarded different numbers of delegates for the Democratic National Convention. But to me, it just highlights that this is not about delegates. This is just simply about sending a message to the Biden administration and highlighting the fact that anything can be the decisive in a Wisconsin election. I mean, imagine a Wisconsin election this year that's decided by 20,000 votes between Trump and Biden. We could look back at that election and say basically anything was the deciding factor. And so that's why this is real serious business for these two parties.
Well, you mentioned there are other things on the ballot. There's, local school referendums, local elections, judges are on the ballot, but really this might be a low turnout election because, as you mentioned before, those nominations for on the big presidential ticket are already tied up for President Biden and former President Trump. But let's look at historical voter turnout here. I'd like to get your take on what we might expect for turnout. For perspective, we're showing Wisconsin presidential primary voter turnout for the last four presidential election years. These are spring primary turnout numbers. They were hovering from a low of 26% of turnout in 2012 to a high of 47% in 2016. If we look at 2020, the last time these same two candidates were on the ballot, the turnout was just over 35%. What would you expect for percentage of turnout in this particular election? Do you have a guess?
I don't think it's going to be that high. And the reason I say that is when I look at the statewide issues in an April election, I really look at three things. The first thing I look at is a competitive presidential party nomination contest, and we don't have that. I also look for a state Supreme Court election. We don't have that one either. Finally, I look for constitutional amendments. Now, we do have two of those, and they have gained some public conversation in the last couple weeks. The two political parties have taken distinct positions on the two constitutional amendments on the ballot, amendments related to election administration issues, funding for elections, and personnel in election administration. Those are not kitchen table issues. There does seem to be a bit of money and a bit of party mobilization behind the constitutional amendments, but I don't know how much those are going to drive turnout. My best guess, Lisa, is that there will be pockets of high voter turnout correlating with high-profile school-related issues. Of course, in Milwaukee, there's a big-ticket referendum on the ballot, and there are millions and millions of dollars of school referenda on the ballot across the state of Wisconsin. So I think we're going to see voter turnout be fairly inconsistent across the entire state, but I do think we'll see high voter turnout here and there related to school funding measures. Now, that makes election results kind of hard to predict, because if election turnout was going to be very low across the board, then we could make certain predictions based on that. And if voter turnout was going to be very high across the board, we can make certain predictions based on that. But I'm not sure that I can make a strong prediction based on the fact that this election only checks one of those three boxes at the statewide level. There's no compelling party nomination drama. There's no state Supreme Court election. There are a couple of constitutional amendments that are very important. At the same time, we see a lot of activity at the local level on school funding issues and some intriguing local elections as well, judicial races, school board races, local offices. So I think you'll see inconsistent voter turnout across the state.
Wisconsin, as always, difficult to predict. Thank you for having this conversation with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.